In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Brothers and sisters, how do you see the glass? You know, the glass that is 8 ounces and filled with 4 ounces of water. Do you see it as half full or half empty? Spiritually, when we think about eternal life, we should always be thinking half full. Now, personality-wise, some of us are a little bit pessimistic about things. Perhaps we see things half empty sometimes, as far as expecting it to rain or that something's not going to go well. But in terms of living the spiritual life, you should be thinking that you are building up continually towards perfection. And this story that the Lord is telling, or not really a story, it's fact, it's what is going to happen in the last judgment, can be taken two ways. I think too many people take it in the way of talking about the judgment and going to hell, when actually, really, the story primarily is about the great grace that we have, the great opportunity we have, the great privilege we have, and how to take advantage of it. There's the six things that the Lord says that the righteous did and the unrighteous did not do. They didn't feed the hungry. The unrighteous didn't feed the hungry or give water to the thirsty, take strangers in, clothe the naked, visit the sick, visit those in prison. And the righteous did all those things. And you can go into some deeper meanings of some of the things that the Lord said, but basically, the thing, the thread that holds together all of those things is that they are when we think of others and when we care about others, just as our Lord cares about us. One of the most important parts of this entire statement by our Lord is when he says, talking about the commencement of the judgment. The king says to them on his right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." We live in a temporary world, but we are eternal creatures. What you do should be eternal. If it isn't eternal, it shouldn't be done. The Lord has a plan for us already. Things are being made ready for us. And so even though we live in a time and a world that is temporary and full of all kinds of unsettling things, difficult things, our sojourn in this world is to prepare us for the next. So all the things that the Lord is talking about that the righteous do, feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and the rest, should be because we know that we have prepared for us from the foundation of the world a kingdom in which we will dwell and know the Lord and be with the Lord always. There's another important phrase in this statement by our Lord. The righteous have protested to the Lord, saying, "When did we do all these things?" And he says, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Very important. That is sort of a mnemonic that you can use. I like mnemonics. I think they're very helpful, not only in learning things in secular world, but also in spiritual things. And to be honest with you, I don't think talking about going to hell if you do sins really helps a whole lot. I don't think it makes people really change at all. People's behavior doesn't change with threats of punishment. Not permanently. It only changes when that immediate possibility of punishment is there. But when it's far away, people don't change. Look at our popular music. It's all about evil. People revel in evil. They love to talk about evil. When I was a kid, there was even a song that was called Highway to Hell. It was all about doing things that would bring you to hell. And it was a celebration of such a lifestyle. So really, talking about things that are going to put you as sinners in the hands of an angry God kind of thing, that doesn't impress people. It never has. What should make a difference, though, for you and for me, is that there is a kingdom that has been prepared from the foundation of the world for us. And that we have a great privilege of participating in that kingdom right now in this fallen world. If you were listening closely in one of the hymns that we just heard, it talked about the parable of the talents. That's also about judgment. You know, the one who had one talent and two talents and five talents. And the two and the ones that had two and five, they increased their talents. And the Lord said, come into the kingdom of thy Father. Because they had been faithful in a few things, they were now being put over great things. But the one who had the one talent, and that was the subject of the Stikeren, he said, take what is thine. He gave it back. That's apropos that would be talked about today on this Sunday of the great and final judgment. Because the Lord has given you grace. He's given you a great privilege to participate in his creation, to love as he loves, to work as he works, to become like his son. It is a great privilege. It's not an onerous requirement. It's a privilege. The one who had the one talent didn't understand that. He thought of it as some sort of command that he didn't want to follow, that was sort of imposed on him from outside of himself, when actually the command that the Lord gives us to do good is because he as good dwells within us and should impel us to want to help others. I talked about that this idea that inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me, is a mnemonic. I would challenge you to use this as a mnemonic. Everything you do is permanent or not permanent. Most people, most of their life is spent in completely frivolous things with totally no meaning at all. And they die and they have nothing. Even Christians. Even us in this room, how much do we do that is eternal? It should be all the time. You should be either praying or helping somebody while you're praying. Helping someone through your prayer. Showing compassion for the least of these. Because it's a great privilege to do so. Because there is a kingdom prepared for us. From the foundation of the world. Even though we live in a temporary world, and there are evidence of temporary things all around us and even in ourselves, we are eternal creatures. God has made us for eternal life, for permanence. Some of you know the story, why I became a priest. In general terms, specifically, I don't really know how that happened. It just kind of did. But in general terms, when I was going to go to college, I wanted to become a doctor because I thought, okay, I will really help people. And then I started to have a crisis and thought, well, you know, I really wanted to be a transplant surgeon because that was very much in the news at the time, heart transplants, which were just kind of in their infancy, but they were talked about a lot. So a person could have a transplant and they could live 3 months. And then after a while, transplants would allow someone to live 5 years. And of course, the technology's increased now. But even so, There's no transplant that's going to let a person live 200 years or infinitely long. Everybody dies. So being a doctor, curing someone, is something that's always a temporary solution. Because that cured person is always going to die. All of a doctor's patients die. And when I came to that conclusion, I wasn't satisfied. I wanted to do something permanent that lasted forever. I didn't think about being a priest at all. But it led me to the Orthodox Church, which is permanent. And then later on, through a course of events that I still don't completely understand, here I am. But just because you're not a priest doesn't mean you shouldn't do permanent things. As a Christian, we should be doing permanent, eternal things every day. And the wonder of it all is you can give a cup of water to a little one, and that cup of water will be gone in a few hours out into the drain, and yet that is a permanent act that God remembers and that makes a difference for you and for them. That's a great privilege. This is the way I look at this judgment story, to be honest with you. More so that we have a great privilege to become righteous. Now, if you don't take the Lord up on this privilege, yes, indeed, there will be the lake of fire and there will be your weeping, saying, when did we not see, when did we not give you drink or food or clothe you? But it will become evident. It'll be obvious to you at that time. So really, I don't think anybody really will ask that question. It's kind of just a rhetorical device the Lord is using. Nobody's going to be asking any questions at the judgment. It's going to be all evident to everyone. But like I said, talking about judgment and hell and brimstone and fire and all that kind of thing that is popular among some of the sectarians, it doesn't change behavior. What changes behavior is when the love of God fills your heart, and when with that love of God, you act on it and you give love to others. And of course, when you give love, you never lose it. It is always replenished. It's inexhaustible. And then you become like the Lord. You become holy, peaceful in your heart, so that when the judgment comes, he will say, welcome, because he'll know you, because you'll be like him. That's what I think we should gather from this statement that the Lord makes about the judgment. You have a great opportunity, brothers and sisters. You have an opportunity to become like God and to be filled with God. All you need to do is take the talents that he has given you and use them. Be kind. Now, there's another thing I tell people all the time in counseling, all the time. So maybe you've heard this before. And I tell myself, too, because it's true, and it's really the only thing that makes you happy. If you concentrate on other people's problems because of love of God, and therefore you love God's creatures, your own problems become smaller. Some of you have taken me up on this, and you understand. If you think of others' needs, even if they're crushing needs, difficult needs, I have stuff all the time happen to me that I have no idea what to do with. It's too big for me. It might be difficult on some sort of level. But on a spiritual level, there's peace in my heart, because I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And nobody can take that away from me. So try that. Try thinking of others. If you got a hard life, if you have difficulties in your life, think of others. Minister to others. Pray for others more than for yourself. And you will find, if you do this honestly, that your own problems will seem smaller, will seem much more manageable. It's true. It really is. So you should do this, because you have a great privilege to become like our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this story is telling us. The kingdom of heaven was prepared from the foundation of the world for us. And how do we gain it? Just by reacting to the love of God, to God who is in us. And then remembering for every act we do, inasmuch as we've done it to the least of one of our Lord's brethren, we've done it unto him. A friend of mine was once asked in a question and answer period in a talk. He was asked, he does a lot of work for charitable work, feeding the hungry, the homeless. And he was honest about feeding the homeless. You got to feed the homeless, but you also have to watch your wallet when you do it. Because, you know, stuff disappears. They're messy people. People are messy in general. But you deal with street people, and you got to be careful. So you don't have everything disappear. You won't have anything left to feed anybody the next week. So that's a problem, yeah. But somebody said, how do you see Christ in these people? And I still remember him stopping. He's kind of a stern person in some levels. And he just stopped, and he like just stood there with a withering stare, like he didn't understand the question, like it didn't compute to him. He says, what are you talking about? It's not a matter of seeing Christ in them. They are Christ. Well, that's the way we should look at people. You do to the least of these, you do to Christ. You're not doing it to somebody who doesn't deserve it. You're doing it to Christ. You're being kind to Christ. Now, this especially should be active in your own household, because, you know, we hold things against our loved ones, I think, more than strangers. We do unto Christ, even if they're wrong, even if they don't deserve it, even if they're being selfish. We're doing it to Christ. So if we remember this, that whatever we do unto Christ, not unto somebody that we're trying to see as Christ. They are Christ. Then we will have a blessed life. That's what this story is about. So may God help you to remember this. We have a kingdom prepared for us from the foundation of the world. All we need to do is react to the love of God, because God lives within us. Listen to him. Think of others. Not as somebody that you should help because you're supposed to, even though they're a jerk. No. Think of others as Christ. That you would minister to them as unto Christ. And then your life will be very happy, ecstatically happy. May God help us to remember this. Amen.